Right, let's start. So, have you had a good week?
Yeah.
Two of you have then, that's great. For the rest of you might need this then, I don't know. So, last week we heard, Mike got up, didn't he, last, for those that were in, he got up and he shared a little bit about his roles in church and how they have differed depending on whether he felt it was a calling or whether it was just serving because, you know, he belonged to the church family. And, you know, it doesn't matter what family home you belong to, there's always chores to be done, isn't there? Always chores. And church is no different. And so I've also been asked to share about my roles in church and how, well, how they've impacted my spiritual walk. And if I may, I'd like to take a walk back through where it all began. Because, you know, it's my past roles that have shaped my current roles today. So I can't really talk about what I do today without really explaining what I've done in the past. And I hope that the journey that God's brought me on will encourage all of you this morning. And that's why I've asked the youth to be in today, because I want you to know that God can take you on a journey. Where you are now is not what you're going to be in 30, 40 years' time. You're going to be something far better. And so I want you to be encouraged by this word this morning. When we allow Jesus into our lives, he births in us a desire to serve others. And as Mike shared last week, that can come in many shapes and forms. So when I first went back to church, I was brought up in church as a child and then I moved away. And then I came back to church in my early 30s. And one of the first things that I volunteered for was to be part of the welcome team and giving out the hymn and prayer books as people arrived. It wasn't this church that I came back to, it was a different church. But you know what? It was a really great way of getting to know people, getting to know the people at church. And I also volunteered for the tea and coffee rota. And as I settled into church life, I really felt like I wanted to do more. I wanted to give a bit more back. Now, our boys, I mean, they're 28 and 24 now, but our boys were really young back then. And I felt that, you know, well, perhaps I could serve on the Sunday school team. So they've been up this morning saying they need more help, okay? So I was working part-time back then in the school too. So I felt, you know what, I could do that, working part-time in the school. I could get involved with Sunday school. It felt the right thing to do. But I have to say, and I have to be really honest, none of them roles were a calling. None of them. They were just a desire for me to give something back to the church. And it seemed the best thing at the time. And if I'm being honest, I didn't have a gift for Sunday school work. But I took the role seriously, really seriously. And I actually learned from all the roles that I volunteered for. But I knew deep down that they were just for a season. They were my very first steps in serving. You'll have to forgive me. Just let me side note, right, look at the size of the print on this. I've typed this up on my mobile phone app and I've sent it to the printer and it's printed it out this size. So I'm going to be doing a lot of turning. I'm very sorry. Right, back to my time. So as my faith grew and my walk with Jesus became deeper, I wanted to serve him more and I felt a real calling actually to engage in women's ministry. It was something that Jesus placed on my heart. Now, the church that I was in had a mother's union, but I felt that this was a bit outdated, really, for me, and I wanted more. And at the time, I remember a friend inviting me to a Winning Women Worldwide conference here at Carmel. And some of you in here will remember Winning Women Worldwide. It was a great, successful ministry. And, you know, I came along not really knowing what to expect. I'd never been in this church before. That was the very first time I came to Carmel when I came to that conference. And I'm an Anglican background. So I was a bit, if I'm really honest, I was a bit wary. I thought, what, Pentecostal, what's it all about? What we're going to expect? But you know what? It was a wonderful, wonderful day of teaching and prayer ministry. And I knew that I'd found the right women's ministry to get involved with. But this meant that I had to step out of my comfort zone because I had to go back to my other church and approach the vicar about starting a ladies group under the umbrella of Winning Women Worldwide. Now, he was wonderfully supportive and said, yes, absolutely, let's do it. And I was so excited. I can't tell you. I was like, oh, I've been called. I know it's right. The vicar said, yes, we can get this started. I'm going to transform the church. Everyone, all the women are going to be amazed and it's going to be brilliant. And, you know, in reality, the truth was that it was me that was being transformed, not the church. I learned so very much in setting that ministry up. I learned about handling disappointment, because believe me, there was disappointment. I learned about the importance of prayer and standing firm and trusting Jesus. It wasn't an easy ride. And I came across resistance from people that I didn't expect. And that really hurt, really hurt. But you know, we had a very small group of ladies who came, and they were amazing. And what a blessing. And I learned that, you know, it doesn't matter about the numbers. It doesn't matter. What matters is the person that you are speaking with. And God never wastes anything. And that journey was all part of his bigger plan. God continued to push me and bless me and allow me actually to use my gift of administration. I'm a great administrator. And when I was asked to be the national, this is a big title, national administrator for Winning Women Worldwide, I was really honoured and excited. But you see, these roles brought me alongside strong women of faith. They encouraged me, but they challenged me as well. And I think that's really important to note here, that when we do serve in a team, we can learn from those who we're serving with. I had Jackie Bowler. She's no longer with us now, but what an amazing woman. If you was part of the 75th anniversary, you would have heard about Jackie. She was a minister here and just did amazing things. But I had the privilege of serving alongside her. I had the privilege of serving alongside Sue Moores and Linda Thomas. They were all part of the senior team back then. God placed me within a team of women that I could learn from. I didn't know it back then, but looking back now, that was the start of my apprenticeship into leadership. I didn't know I was learning how to be a leader, but God knew he had a plan and purpose for me. I remember Jackie Bowler asking me to speak at a women's evening. She was always stretching us, Jackie. I'd never done anything like that before. Honestly, I was so scared. I was like, man, you want me to get up and speak to people that I've never met and bring a word from God? And I really had to dig deep in prayer, really deep in prayer, and ask Jesus for the right message. And do you know where he gave it to me? God's so good, isn't he? I was in the kitchen, at the sink, washing pans and pots. And I must have just been praying and talking to God and just really thinking, what can I pray about? And he gave me a message at the sink washing pots. That's how God works. You don't have to be doing anything amazing. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be, you know, if you're talking to God and your heart's open, he'll give you what you need. I can't remember what the message was now. It was too many years ago. But I know he gave it me at the kitchen sink. And as time went on, I continued to learn and grow. But I really had a desire on my heart to work for God. I didn't want to work in the secular world anymore, but I knew I needed to bring an income in, and money was tight. And so one afternoon, and I've shared this before, I'm sure, I was praying to him and I said, God, I'd really want to work for you. I want to serve you, you know, but if you can just make it in school hours and, you know, if it can just be the right pay and if it can use my administration skills, then God, I'll be forever grateful. You know, and I come down and I told Ray, anyway, good luck with that one. But you know what? God is faithful. And I believe because I've been faithful in serving others and I've been willing to learn and I've been willing to grow and to step out of my boat, all without any pay, all in voluntary roles, God answered my prayer. When I moved to Carmel, which I did, I volunteered my administration skills. I was already a national administrator, so it was an obvious thing to do when I moved here. And not long after moving here, Mark offered me the church administration job, and I loved it. So now I found myself in a church that I felt truly at home in, working for God and getting paid. But you know, God doesn't stop there. All my prayers had been answered. I'd got everything I wanted, but God doesn't stop there. You see, when we're willing to go, when we're really willing to open ourselves up, and go that extra mile, he'll take that and he'll multiply it. Let's fast forward to today and look at my many varied roles in church. You all know I manage the CAP Debt Centre, and I've done that for 17 years. Well, was I called to it? Not initially, no. But it was definitely the right role for me. Mark identified that. He saw in me the skills needed. I had great administration skills. I was a good listener, a good communicator, and I had a passion for Christ and a passion to serve. Mark knew I was the right fit, even if I didn't. I went away and I prayed because I wasn't sure. I didn't know. I felt very scared. Again, it was another moment where I had to get out of my boat and step on the water. And I prayed about it and I took that step. Not only trusting Mark's wisdom, but trusting God, and I went for it. And the rest is history. That role has taught me so much. I wasn't looking to be part of the church leadership team either. But again, Mark, Sue and Jed all saw qualities in me that they knew would enhance their team. Was it a big decision to make? Absolutely. You don't take on a role of church leadership lightly. Being responsible for your church family, for vision, for purpose, for teaching, leading services, bringing Sunday morning messages. But when you commit to God, he equips you. He gave me wisdom. He gave me insights. He increased my passion and love for you, for the church family. And he's enabled me to do this role. I couldn't do it in my own strength. And again, that's something important to note here. We don't always see our own potential. We can be very good, actually, at putting ourselves down and holding ourselves back. Oh, I can't do that. Never. I can't do that. I couldn't be like her. I couldn't be like him. But you know, I never saw myself as a church elder. I didn't think I had the qualifications. Not that I was even looking for it. I wasn't. But there are so many examples in the Bible where God uses people that on the surface just don't seem qualified for the task that he's giving them. But God can use anyone if their heart is open and they're willing. If someone says to you, I think you would be good at this, don't dismiss them. Go away. Pray. Call on the Holy Spirit. Challenge yourself, because you never know where God can take it. Over the many years of working with CAP, I've learned that my most favourite part of the job, actually, is sitting down with the clients and listening to their stories. I love it. And many times for the clients, it's the first time someone has truly sat down and listened to them. Now, this part of the job inspired me to start the community drop-in. It was something, again, I felt called to do, a space where people can come and be and talk and get help if needs be. And do you know who was one of our very first people to come to that drop-in? Tanny. And look how far she's come. If it's only ever did it for Tanny, she was worth that one. Has it been an easy job? No. Has it been challenging? At times, yes. Do I love it? Absolutely. You see, God increases my desire to engage with others when we follow him, when I follow him, and when you follow him. And you know what? How else are we going to share his love and good news? Sitting down and listening to people's stories gives us opportunities to share how our faith has worked in our lives. Did my work with CAP help with this? Of course it did. Yes, God has intertwined all of my roles. They overlap all the time. My CAP role needs expert admin skills, but also excellent people skills. The same for my leadership role. And I still love administration. So I continue to volunteer in that capacity. I update the church website. I do all the notices that you see on the notice board and the publicities that you see on the screen. I organise a welcome team for Sunday mornings. I take a big part in organising the Christmas fair too. But I do these things because I enjoy it. I like it. It's my blessing. Okay. Throughout my walk with Jesus, God has placed me where I need to be. He's equipped me, and I have grown immeasurably. I've never been to Bible college. I didn't go to university, but I had a willingness of heart and an eagerness to learn and a desire to serve, and having the wisdom to hear and follow the Holy Spirit, and it's taken me to places and roles that I would never have believed 30 years ago. And at the heart of all those roles is Jesus and, of course, people. You may ask, well, how do you do everything as well as be a wife and a mum to two boys and a daughter and handle all the commitments that these roles bring? And I think these are really important things to say. I practice good boundaries. I don't overcommit. I rest when I need to. I pray. You know, God is the best diary manager ever. I can't tell you the amount of times he shuffled my appointments around when I've needed them to do. I was asked once by a very wise person, and you know, if you take nothing away from this but this, you know, they said, when you are saying yes to somebody, who are you going to be saying no to? Because you can't serve two people at once. And it's so true. It's enabled me to stop being a yes man and made saying no so much easier. If it's family time, it's family time. If it's prayer time, it's prayer time. If it's work time, it's work time. Managing my time well is so important. But you know what? It's amazing what you can get done in 2 hours. But I also have to say, it's amazing how fast we can waste 2 hours when we're scrolling on our phones. Just saying, I'm as guilty as the next person. So top tip, practice managing your time well. It transforms your day. In reflecting over my various roles in church, one thing that stands out to me is how my faith has grown. When we put ourselves on the front line, when we step out of our comfort zone, when we challenge ourselves, we have nowhere to go but to Jesus. And in doing that and trusting him in every situation, your faith can't help but grow. Every time I encounter a God moment with people, I get a wow and a reminder that he never stops working. We were singing that earlier, wasn't we? He never stops working. He never stops loving. He never stops working out his plans and purposes. We serve a mighty God who is definitely on the move and looking to his church to step up. So you may still be sitting there saying, God can't use me. I'm not like you. Well, I say, look at my journey. Look at Mike's journey. And actually, look at the disciples. What a ragtag team they were. But God used them. He can use anybody. A few years ago, I preached about the remarkable journey that Peter went on with Jesus. You know, if you ever really get into Peter, it was a real true roller coaster ride for him. As a disciple of Jesus, Peter went from being a fisherman to being the rock that Jesus built his church on. Peter spent time with Jesus, watching him, learning from him, following him, and actually declaring that he would never disown Jesus, even if it meant death. Yet, when Jesus was arrested prior to his crucifixion, Peter denied him, knowing him 3 times. He went into hiding, afraid for his life, in crisis at what had happened. But the most remarkable change happened once Peter had been filled with the Holy Spirit. He boldly stepped out and preached to the very people who had Jesus crucified, all fear gone. Peter had no qualifications. He'd had no formal training other than spending time with Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit filled him, he opened his heart and God used him to build his church. Peter was just a normal bloke going about his day-to-day life until he got the call. He was just like you and me. And look what God did with him. Whatever we do in church or ministry, don't just rely on your own strengths. To really be fruitful, to really be transformed, we have to pray and listen and trust in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go, another will come to help and guide you. That's the Holy Spirit. He is sent to us from Father God and Jesus. Listen to his promptings, they'll be there. He'll help you in all walks of your life if you listen, trust, and follow what he's saying to you. Walking with the Spirit will enable you to bear his fruit too. Love. Who doesn't want more love? Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. We see very little of any of that out there. But in the church, we can be different. We all need these things in our lives to do what we're called to do. This fruit is what makes us stand out and be attractive to others. They will want what you have. God gives us everything we need in this life to do what we're called to do. Do you believe it? Are you ready? So, questions. What makes you tick? What do you enjoy doing? What's God placed in your hand? Has he been calling you? And have you been too afraid to act? Do you want to grow? Do you want to serve God? Well, can I encourage you to get into a conversation with Jesus? Share your heart with him. But when he answers, be prepared to take the leap. You won't regret it, I promise. The journey that you'll go on will be astounding, I promise you. If this has challenged you in any way, shape or form today, come and speak to either myself, Katie Ann or Sue, and we'll talk more to you about it. But right now, I just want to pray. So let's just bow our heads. Father God, you've called each of us to go and serve you. Lord, I pray that you guide and show us the right way to serve you. Show us what you've placed in our hands, our gifts, and help us to see where they will serve best. Lord, take away our pride and fears and hold our hands as we step out in faith to serve you, the church, and all those people we encounter on a daily basis. Lord, give us wisdom in our roles, showing us when to rest and how to set healthy boundaries and have balance in our lives. In all these things, we trust in you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brilliant. So just as the worship team comes.